Hello and welcome into another edition of 90 Day Arroway. I am one half of your hosts. I am Jonathan.
And I'm the other half. I'm Lindsay.
And we had another good episode of 90 Day last night. It wasn't as good as the previous couple, but we did have a lot of stuff start to come out and a lot of wedding planning things take shape. So it was definitely interesting to see how all of the couples are going about their wedding and, you know, the different questions and everything that continues to pop up.
Yeah, this was definitely like a fluffer episode is what I've been calling it. It's very like just pacing together so that we can get to the weddings and get to all that fun drama. But I don't know, this episode was kind of lame to me, to be honest.
Yeah, there wasn't too many like crazy things, a couple things here and there, but nothing super out of the woodwork. But is there anybody you want to start us off with, Linz?
Let's raise the temperature and go to Kobe and Emily.
All right, fair enough. So we start out, and it seems like Emily still feels pretty guilty about hiding the pregnancy.
Yeah, okay, well, first off, there's a Coben sighting, and we haven't seen him in a couple of weeks, and so I was really pumped about that. But yeah, Emily, like, she doesn't want to tell her parents till after the wedding because they're spending $10,000 on it.
Yeah, so, I mean, I get it, but also, like, you should be honest about what's happening. But, I mean, if that's what she wants to do, by all means, like, go for it. So they go suit shopping.
Yeah.
For Kobe. And Kobe looks pretty fire in the suit.
I wrote, he looks swag. It was like a white suit jacket with black lapel and black pants. And he looked fire. Emily's dad is also there because, you know, someone's got to pay for that stuff. But Kobe says that they've been bickering a lot more since finding out Emily is pregnant.
Yeah. And I think the main thing is Kobe wants to tell her parents sooner rather than later, and Emily just wants to keep putting it off because it seems like she thinks once she tells them, like, everything is cut off.
Which I don't blame them at all. No. That was literally her dad's only rule is to not get pregnant. So I don't know, but they are at the suit shop and Kobe's like, or Emily asked Kobe, like, oh, like, your friends are getting in this day and that day. Mind you, it's 6 days till the wedding. And Kobe's like, oh, actually, my friend Temperature is here.
Yeah, who's going to be the best man.
So I'm going to see him tonight. And Emily, of course, in typical Emily fashion, is like, well, I guess I'll do all the wedding stuff by myself and take care of everything by myself. I cannot. Oh, my God. Her and Bilal belong together, honestly.
Oh, Lord. But what was hilarious is Emily's dad is like, I thought you were talking about the weather.
That is such a boomer dad thing to say.
It was hilarious, though. But yeah, and then, so then we get to Kobe visiting Temperature. And Kobe tells him about how Emily has a bad attitude about things and she's got to control everything. And then Kobe also tells him how Emily's pregnant again. And it's just like all these things, you know, that he's essentially like confiding in Temperature about.
Yeah. So Temperature, we see Kobe knock on the door and Temperature is dressed for the club. I don't know what club they're going to in Salina, but he is ready for it. And so we find out that Temperature won the green card lottery in Cameroon and moved over to Columbus, Ohio, which he mentions there's a high African community there.
Yeah, had no idea. Have a friend that lives in Columbus. Haven't heard him say one thing about a big African population there. So this is news to me.
Yeah, so I didn't know that either. I also didn't know they had green card lotteries like in Cameroon.
I guess, yeah.
I thought Cameroon was a developed country, but I might be wrong about that. And that might be because I'm an ignorant American. So anyway, hey, at least I admit it. But Temperature says, like, he sees it in America since he's been here for a little over a year that, like, men and women are equal. And when it comes to being heads of households, and, you know, he wants Kobe to move to Columbus because of the community there. And essentially, you know, it's that African male way of thinking that we've seen a lot on the 90 Day Universe, that, you know, the men are the head of the household. They decide everything. Women belong to them, or their wives belong to them, like stuff like that. And when he was talking, I was just like, boy, you do not know Emily at all. Like, you're in for a shock of a lifetime.
Oh yeah, for sure. And I mean, we kind of see that once we get to the lunch with Emily's family. And like, Kobe does realize that he needs to like step up a little bit more. But then once they go to lunch, Temperature says, like, how he enjoys being here, and this is the place to be, which is nice to hear. But then we get to them ordering, and Emily orders for Kobe, orders him lasagna, and Temperature immediately is like, you order for Kobe?
Okay, but I kind of get Emily ordering for Kobe because it's like, it's probably a restaurant they've never been before. Like, it sounded like it was Italian food. So maybe Kobe isn't used to all of the, like, Italian names or anything like that. And again, I'm assuming, so I don't know. And also, Kobe is right next to Coben. It's like Temperature, Emily, Kobe, and then Coben. So it seems like, you know, Kobe is interacting with his son or interacting with Emily's family that he probably didn't even take a glance. So she was just like, oh, he'll like this. And I'm not defending Emily at all, please God, I would never. But I think his friend Temperature is kind of overreaching at that point.
Yeah, but I mean, she also could have asked him, like, hey, do you want this or this, or you typically like this or this, is there something that
true something
instead of just like ultimately assuming that he wants.
Yeah, no, you're right about that.
One plate over another.
One thing that we didn't mention before this lunch, when Kobe and Temperature were talking in Temperature's hotel room, is that Kobe said that it is a death sentence for him to like let Emily have full control of everything. And I thought that was hilarious because it's like, you recognize this, and you nor her family, nor anyone is really rectifying the situation with her.
True. Very, very true. but essentially, Emily's family, too, like, when they're out, says, like, how Emily's the boss and all this stuff. And she kind of marches to the beat of her own drum, which we've heard time and time again. And then Temperature really wants Kobe to stand up more. And I think Kobe wants to stand up a little bit more, too, but doesn't really know how to go about it properly. And I mean, kind of wants that like mutual communication thing, which like you should have in a relationship, whereas Temperature wants him to be like, wants Kobe to be like 80-20 or like 90-10.
Yeah, I mean, Temperature says that the men are supposed to be the head of the household.
Yeah.
And that she must give Kobe respect.
Right.
And Emily is like, well, you know, I didn't know Kobe thought this way or grew up this way. And like, maybe that, you know, when we were with the horses or the cows, or I think they were with the cows, when we were at the cows, and he essentially told me to fuck off. And I was like, actually, he told you to shut the fuck up.
And he should have.
And yeah, you should have. I mean, it's like you're just saying, it's a communication thing. They need to learn how to communicate and work together for the betterment of their children now, and not just one. But something that I thought was really funny is Temperature says that Emily belongs to Kobe.
Yeah, that was kind of
weird. And I was like, this is weird. Like, I get coming from different cultures and different upbringings and stuff, but like, you're in America now, dude. Like, you need to realize that, like, well, we're somewhat equal in this country. But something that was really, really funny that comes up at the end of their scenes is that Temperature brings up that Kobe's in the royal family in Cameroon.
Yeah.
Everyone was like, what the fuck?
But it seemed like what their royal families were almost just like how we have, like, city and town like representatives, because he was saying how it was like they have all these different tribes, so it's like the leader of that tribe.
Yeah, it's almost like the different churches, like, oh, the Pope is the head of the Catholic Church and this person's the head of the Orthodox Church and stuff. Like, that's what it sounded like. But at first, like, I was like,
wait, is this guy a king? Like, what's going on here? I was like thrown for a loop.
And Emily was like, so like, oh, you're a royal. And then when she found out what it was, she was like, never mind. But she was like, I can't believe he didn't tell me this. And it's like, what is there to say? Like, oh, my dad is part of this tribe that you've never heard of. It's not like he's like the royal family in England or anything. Like,
yeah, exactly.
She probably would have not paid attention. And I bet you anything he did tell her this and she just didn't pay attention. So
strong possibility.
I don't know. They have less than a week to get married. They're obviously going to get married. Very unfortunate. This man is stuck with two kids. I'm interested, though, after they get married, if we actually see the news break to her family that she's pregnant.
I'm sure, like, right after the wedding, they'll tell her. Tell them.
Tell them. Well, yeah. I don't know. They're a mess. Their kid's really cute. I'm kind of excited for their next one. But besides that,
Yeah. So, I mean, that's pretty much it for them. Like Lindsay said, you know, we'll continue to see what happens, especially with telling the parents about the new pregnancy and next child. But who would you like to head over to next?
Let's go over to my favorite person.
Who's that?
Bilal.
All right.
And try to. We're saving Kara and Guillermo to like close to the end because they're always like super positive and make me feel good. Well, Guillermo does.
All right.
So Bilal stop cutting me off.
Bilal and Shida then. So Shida tells Bilal how she wants to grab coffee and discuss the prenup.
Yeah, so she consulted with her lawyer on the prenup. And she asked him, like, hey, would you have your daughter sign this prenup? And her lawyer was like, nah, I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, and that's, you know, you got to keep it real, especially for your client. Obviously, as a lawyer, you're going to have your client's best interests, but you also have to know that if your client is getting taken to the cleaners, and that's kind of what it seems like in this situation. And then when, you know, Shida and Bilal are discussing it, what I thought was hilarious is when he was like, what I've done for you.
I literally wrote the same thing. Like, what the fuck have you done? Brought me over to America, tricked me into thinking you were poor, berated me and treated me like a child the entire time I was here. Like, what the fuck have you done?
Yeah, it's like absolutely absurd that he had like that he even said that. Like who are you?
So before this, though, the thing I wrote down is, so when Shida wants to talk at this coffee shop, she's like, hey, can we talk? Like, can we go here? Because the kids are here and I don't want to talk in front of them. And Bilal's like, well, you know, I'm working and I'm making money, but I guess I'll go. And it's like, I guess I'll make he literally goes, I guess I'll make money later. Like, fuck off, dude. Like, that's all he cares about is his fucking money.
Yeah, of course. And I mean, also, like, it's real estate. So you already have, like, your clients that you work with, or you're obtaining new clients. So.
And you work from home. You're not in an office. Yeah, you can do it whenever. Like, go get coffee and talk for a half hour. Yeah. Like, you're fine. So when they start talking in the coffee shop, you know, Shida says something that she noticed in the United States is that everyone puts business first.
Yeah, exactly. Which, I mean, I understand and see that, but also, like, because then Shida was saying how, like, when she first came here, like, everything was, like, great and super romantic, and it was, like, a storybook love.
They don't exist. Sorry, I was doing what Bilal did to her.
No, but then, and yeah, and his, like, facial expression during that, he was just like, But that doesn't exist.
The whole thing is, though, she has the floor. She is talking.
Yeah, just let her finish.
Explaining, you know, how she feels and why she feels this way. And he's just like, fairy tales don't exist. Cinderella doesn't exist. You're wrong. It's like, bro, like, can you let her talk? Oh, I'm sorry for cutting you off, but I'm right and you're wrong, so I need to tell you.
Yeah, and, like, obviously we know and, like, understand that, like, yeah, like, these are obviously movies and, like, it's not real life. But at the same time, like, it can resemble it or have, like, an outline as to it. It's not to say that everything is exactly the same. But, yeah, it was just ridiculous that, like, he just came out and, like, cut her off and stuff about it, so.
He was doing the typical Bilal thing where it's, you're wrong, anything you say is wrong, I'm right, and I need to show you and tell you I'm right.
Yeah.
Before anything else. So they really, I wouldn't say they get too far deep into the prenup discussion, but, you know, Shida brings up that the whole thing just protects him. And that, you know, one thing that she really wants to do is protect herself and her brand, which comes down to, like, her yoga studio. And essentially what she's saying is, like, you know, you promised to help me start my yoga studio in Kansas City. But once it's established, like, that's mine. So if we get divorced, like, I'm keeping that. And, like, Bilal didn't understand that.
No, I think he understood it, but he always turns everything around to benefit him because he's a salesperson, so he always has to, like, win the deal. So he was saying, like, oh, well, you have startup costs, like, there's capital investments, like, who's providing that? Like, I'm providing that, so I have a piece of it. So he's, like, trying to spin it all so that, like, he makes out in the end.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, you brought her here. You two decided to bring her to the United States. She sold her yoga studio in Trinidad, like, all this stuff. And I don't know, to me, if my spouse wants to start a business and I can provide or help them start that business, especially if they're not from the United States, I'm going to help them out of love. Whereas what you're saying is correct. Like, he thinks it's just strictly business.
Yeah, because, you know, marriage is a business transaction.
Oh,
so.
Oh my God. I hate this man so much.
But once Shida says, like, how she wants to put all this stuff in, she asks him, like, if he'll sign it. And he says that he'll consider signing the updated prenup, which, like, I would hope so.
Like, she is willingly agreeing to your prenup.
Yeah, she just wants to cover her as much as you want to cover yourself. So that's all.
I'm just so sick of this storyline, to be honest with you. It's like, either sign the fucking prenup or don't, and get married or don't. Like, it's coming down to the part of the season that I just, like, get sick of everyone.
Yeah,
it happens,
like,
every season.
It's like, give me the wedding, give me the drama about the wedding.
Yeah, like, this episode gave me nothing, so I'm just like, all right, I'm over it. I'm over you. Like, just get fucking married already. But I get like this every season, yeah. I would say.
But luckily, that was pretty much it for them on this episode. So with that being said, let's head over to another couple that was only briefly showed, and that is Ari and my guy, Binyam.
Okay, so TLC totally, like, I think, fucked up the editing with their scenes this episode.
Yeah, it was kind of, like, choppy.
It was very choppy. It was very, like, we went from, hold on a second, we went from 20 days to 15 days to 11 days to 7 days. And, like, in the preview, it showed, like, Ari and Janet wedding dress shopping. And, like, we only got literally, like, 2 seconds of that.
Yeah, it was very, very quick.
So it was just really weird. They're obviously getting married.
Yeah, so what I had is that they start to plan the wedding or deciding to go their separate ways. It seems like it's like a back and forth type of situation. And then we see Ari talking to Leandro.
Oh my God. When they showed that scene, I was like, please.
And he says how he's not going to be coming for the wedding. And Ari was very upset. And it's like, oh my God, the fact that you're even inviting your ex-husband to your wedding, like, is just hilarious to me.
But the whole, their whole scene, their one scene that they had was, I don't know if we're getting married. I don't know if we're getting married.
Yeah, but that's been the last 2 years of
them.
And
it's like, why didn't you do the 90 days then? Like, I don't truly understand it at all.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then even Benny's like, I don't know if we're getting married, but I'm going to make pants for Avi.
Yeah, which was super, super cool to see. And they fit perfectly. And Avi looked pretty dope. So.
Yeah, and it was really emotional. You know, Benny says, like, he wants to keep his family together. He doesn't want to lose Avi. Like, you know, if they don't get married, he has to go back to Ethiopia. And he's going to lose Avi, like, his first son and everything. And it was really emotional, but I don't know. It's starting to just feel like this storyline is kind of forced. I mean, I could...
That's probably why they sped it up so much, though.
Yeah, because I could see them, like, having doubts about getting married and stuff. But the fact that, like, this whole scene was like, are we getting married? Are we not getting married? Are we getting... It's like, you guys are getting married. Like, it's very obvious you're getting married.
Yeah, and even, like, they're... Ari even says, like, they're still fighting with each other and that she feels, like, defeated in the relationship. But, like, as you were saying, too, like, Ari wants to keep the family together. Like, Benny wants to keep the family together. Whenever, like, Ari sees Benny with Avi, it's like, okay, like, I want to keep this together. I don't want us to lose this. So that's kind of, like, the back and forth. And like we've said, like, they're going to get married. I think all signs point to that, so that what happened to him the first time doesn't happen to him again, and he's actually able to, like, see his son grow up and everything.
No, I agree. And, you know, Ari, to your point, like, Ari wants to keep her family together, and she says at the end of their scene, like, you know, Benny is the light that provides Avi, you know, is the light to Avi, like, you know, it makes him laugh. Like, he is a really great dad, and that's why they're together. And, you know, she wants to continue that. But, I mean, they really gave me nothing this episode.
No, not much.
The only thing they gave me was so many scenes with Avi, and he is so freaking cute. and I'm just happy that this episode we saw both Avi and Coben.
For sure. But yeah, that was pretty much it for them too. Pretty quick. So we'll head over to another couple that only had one scene, and then we'll finish with the three big ones from this episode. So let's head over to Lindsay's favorite, Jabri and Miona.
I was rolling my eyes before you even said their name.
Because you knew it was coming.
Yeah, and I'm just so over this. I'm so over this. This scene was so... Sorry, I'm screaming. This scene was so fucking scripted. So scripted.
So let's get into it. So
I'm sorry. By the way, guys, I've gotten a collective of 3 hours of sleep in the past 24 hours, so I'm very hyped right now.
Oh, yeah. A lot of coffee, a lot of cold brew.
Yeah.
But so we start off, they're in the bedroom playing cards, and Brian knocks on the door and comes in guns blazing.
He came in hot. He's like, can I talk to you guys? I was like, bro, let's calm down here.
And essentially the nature of the conversation is Brian asks Jabri and Miona when they finally are sitting down, like, when they're going to be moving out.
Yeah, so Brian and Mahala, like, sit them down and they're like, hey, so we want to know your plans for, like, when you're moving out. And Bilal and Miona Brian and Mahala said, like, until the end of the year. And there's a month left of the year. So yeah. They're like,
so you guys, like, don't know this. You don't know when you're getting married. You don't know where you're getting married. And Jabri and Miona are like, no.
Jabri's like, I don't know. It's like, bro, you got 15 days.
Yeah, like, you got to figure it out. Or just walk down to the courthouse or something.
God.
But it was hilarious. And I think, like, during that conversation, and then they, like, side pained to just Miona by herself, and it was like she was almost like kind of like smirking,
yeah,
because she like doesn't want to be there, and she's happy that like Mahala's kicking them out so that they don't have to live there anymore.
It's ridiculous. So Mahala says, like, hey, like, you know, you guys had time to plan this, like,
right.
You had time to plan a wedding, you had time to find another apartment or find another place to live. And Jabri was like, well, it wasn't very long. And Brian's like, you literally had 90 days. Like, that's what you're saying. Like,
and also you knew she was coming here prior to those 90 days. So, like, you could have started the process of, like, looking at venues and stuff at that point.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, Jabri, this is where the real Jabri, I think, comes out, where he's very entitled and thinks he's, like, owed stuff. And he said, like, you know, he wish he could have had help from them, which, like, you fucking did. You were living there rent-free, bro.
At 28 years old.
And he says, like, it's fucked up that they're kicking them out
now. And he's all, like, pissed off and everything. It's like, bro, like, you're 28. You should have been, I was living on my own at 17. Like, figure it out.
I mean, that's what Brian says. Brian's like, you're 28 years old. Like, it's time to figure it out.
Yeah, and you can just tell, like, Brian is just so sick of them. Like, this is the first episode where Brian, like, really had an attitude towards them.
I think after last week's talk between Mahala, Miona, and Brian's like, I don't want to be a part of this train wreck or whatever he said.
Yeah.
Or, that he's just over it. And I don't blame them. Like, they're not going to the wedding. All Miona and Jabri have done is, like, talk shit about each other.
Right.
And it's time to get out.
Yeah, you got to figure it out. Go ahead, move to California. You'll love it. It'll be so much fun.
Jabri says at the end that he feels like he's 15 years old, like, getting talked down to by his parents.
Yeah.
And Brian says that he also feels like Jabri is 15 years old.
Yeah, which is absolutely hysterical.
And then Jabri walks out, and, like, that was pretty much it.
Yeah. But yeah, that was, like we said, you know, that was pretty much it for them as well. Like, pretty short scene for them. So is there one of the big three you want to start out with? From this episode?
Let's go to my boy.
Which one?
Guillermo.
All right. So, Cara and Guillermo. So, we start off with Guillermo calling his mother.
His mom is so pretty, first of all. And second of all, she is, like, the nicest human being possible. And, of course, like, apple doesn't fall far from the tree. But...
true.
She just gave him, like, really, really great sound advice.
Yeah, but he was, like, talking to her and saying how, and even he was saying, like, things were a little weird, like, once they got back home from the dinner that we saw in the previous episode. But he's talking to his mom and, you know, he's making sure that, like, the video, he'll be videoing for his family.
Wedding.
So, yeah, so they can see it. And he's like, yep, I have it in this, like, perfect spot so you guys can see everything.
I was like, of course you do, because you're the perfect person.
So we see that. And
his mom says, like, you know, doubts are normal, but they need to let each other be themselves. Like, you know, it does seem like Guillermo is so wrapped up in this, like, well, Kara's never going to change. And his mom is like, you knew this going in, that Kara is this very eccentric person who wants to go out and do this and, like, let her be her and you do you kind of thing. And, you know, his mom also says that marriage isn't a prison, which I loved. And that, you know, they just need to take care of each other, which they will. I really think they will. But something that I wrote down, because I need to know.
Oh.
Is he talking on the computer that he bought? I need to know.
I guess we'll find out.
No, I'm literally, I think I say this every episode. If Sean Robinson did not find out if he got this freaking computer, I'd be livid. Anyway.
Fair enough. But yeah, like Lindsay was saying, I mean, Guillermo's mom gave some great advice. She was super nice about the whole thing as well. And I think in most relationships, you know, you just want the best for each other. And it feels like Guillermo and Cara really want to. So I think everything will work out for them and they'll continue to grow and enhance themselves and continue to move forward with each other.
Yeah, I feel like they're both still growing too.
Definitely.
But I think they do respect each other. I mean, she's a little bossy and stuff, but you know, it seems like they came to a compromise that like if she wants to go out with her friends, like Guillermo will stay home, or if he wants to stay home, or if he wants to leave early, like he can leave early kind of thing. So I think, you know, they're working on their relationship together, which is a lot to say for all of these couples.
Definitely. And we see Kara too. So she was saying how she really wants to feel 100% committed in the relationship, like all the way around. And that's when Guillermo apologizes for how he was acting at dinner the previous night, which I think shows his maturity. Even though he is only 23, it really shows like his maturity as a person, and he understands the nature of the situation and all encompassing. And then after that, it was just like Kara on the side, and she's like, well, I guess everything is resolved. And it's like, all right, so we're just moving on. Like, all right, all is good, all is well. Everything is rainbows and unicorns.
That was like just so weird. I was just like, okay, we're not fighting about this anymore. And I was like, he was just questioning your entire relationship, and you're just like, it's over. Okay.
That's kind of her personality, though.
That like, is true.
Like, fuck it, kick it, and let's keep it moving. So it was funny to see that. But I think the main thing is, too, like, they both just want to have fun and everything to be okay between the two of them.
Yeah, 100%. And then Kara ends up having a bachelorette party.
A pajama party with the gals, .. and Tim.
In Kara and Guillermo's apartment, where Guillermo is downstairs.
Yeah, in the basement.
With the puppy.
Yeah, I thought it was also very... I don't know rent prices in Charlottesville, but I mean, it seemed like a pretty nice townhome.
Yeah, I would live there 100%.
It was like a three-floor townhome almost, so I mean... Pretty nice.
Yeah, so they, you know, they're drinking wine or champagne. I think it's champagne.
Yeah.
And, you know, Kara tells her friends about their fight, which I thought was weird considering Guillermo is, like, literally downstairs.
Yeah, he can probably hear some of the stuff.
But one of the things that I thought was so funny is she was like, you know, who leaves a party at 9:30? And I was like, me. I'm asleep by then.
I mean, once in a while, like, sure, go out and have fun. But when it's, like, an every weekend thing or, like, a twice a week thing, like, nah, not about that.
Yeah, it was, I don't know. But I just always find it strange when people, like, tell their friends about their fights when their significant others are, like, within earshot.
Yeah, like, you know, confide in them, like, talk about it a little bit, but maybe not when he's in the house with you.
Yeah, it's super weird. But, I mean, they're getting married. Tomorrow's the wedding, so.
Yeah, I think all is well. I think they'll end up being relatively happy together, especially in the beginning of everything. And I don't know, I see Guillermo doing some good things while he's here.
Me too. I can't wait to, like, see him thrive and whatever he ends up doing. And
right,
you know, I wish they were on happily ever after. We'll talk about that at the end because I have a lot of thoughts. Okay.
They might be. We'll see what happens, and I'm sure these two will be back, because I think most people, or almost everybody that watches the show, feels the same way we do about their relationship, and specifically about how great Guillermo is.
Yes.
So you got to bring them back.
I agree with that. I don't know if 90 Day would, though, because they don't really bring the drama. They're not like a Jasmine.
They might bring drama. We don't know yet.
That's true.
Maybe this continues her partying and he gets all PO'd about it. We'll see.
You know who should get together?
Who?
Chantel and Guillermo. Okay.
No. No.
I know. Well, I like Kara. I do like Kara. I like Kara and Guillermo together. I just want the best for Chantel. So.
Yeah. So, all right. So, with the last two, who do you want to head over to?
Let's do Eve and Mohammed.
Sounds good. So, with Eve and Mohammed, we start off and we see them in the kitchen, and they say... Eve says, can we have a better day than yesterday?
Yeah, and it's the day after the fight. the texting fight. And
while they're in the same house.
While they're in the same house. And Eve says that, you know, she's upset that Muhammad doesn't understand how important this wedding ceremony is for her. And all he cares about is his green card, which, you know, to a normal person would show some red flags or, you know, turn on a light or something. But, you know, they kiss and make up, essentially.
Yeah, and Eve even mentions that she doesn't want to give up on the relationship, especially right now. And Muhammad pretty much just says, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, not what he's sorry for or why he's sorry, just, I'm sorry.
And then they hug. And then it's over. The fight's over. That's it.
All of that. And here we are, and we're all set. But then we get to Eve at work. And Tatiana comes to see her for some cupping.
I'm happy you got her name, because I just keep writing Eve's friend. Like, I have no idea what her friend is.
Yeah, Tatiana. Is.
Tatiana comes to work for a service, and Eve, like, tells her about the sponsor situation going on.
Yeah, tells her, like, all about the argument and everything, and Eve says how she's still hurt, and she's trying to understand Muhammad's feelings more, but she's also, you know, not willing to lose her friends, which she calls the squad.
So something I wrote is that Eve is, like, in total denial about Muhammad and, like, about his intentions being there. And she keeps, like, talking him up about, like, how great he is and how if they just got along, you know, if they just, like, spent more time with her squad, spent more time with him, like, they would get along. Like, I don't understand why, like, this man just told you his intentions, which was he wants to get a green card, and you're, like, blatantly ignoring them.
Yeah, exactly, which is a little ridiculous, and I feel like he's already tuned them all out and thinks he knows who they all are, so he's just done with all of them.
Yeah, exactly. And she, Eve says at one point that, like, she wants Muhammad to get along with the squad because she's not willing to lose her friends for him.
Yeah.
But, like, she's willing to lose, like, everything else, I feel like, for him.
Pretty much.
And I will say, I don't know if you noticed this, but, like, on the door, it said, like, doctor. And then, like, on her scrubs, it also said Dr. Eve. So I don't know if she's, like, a medical doctor or dermatologist or physical therapist, or I don't know, but I'm like, if you are some way or another a doctor, like, why are you not the smart enough to realize, like, what his true intentions are at all?
Yeah, no, I mean I totally agree. And then we get to the situation where Eve asks him, kind of like how Lindsay alluded to hang out with her squad at the house, and Eve is positioning it like this is her version of church, more or less. And it means a lot to her if Muhammad is, you know, more open with her friends and everything. And Eve's friends are essentially her family, which I thought was pretty, like, big for her to say. And, like, sometimes, you know, your family, like, is your family, but are they really? Like, your friends are the family you pick. And it seems like Eve is closer with her friends, which is her family now. Mm-hmm. So I think, like, that really means a great deal to her, and I feel like Muhammad just, like, isn't getting that side of things.
No, but I also feel like she doesn't explain it correctly at all.
True.
Like, so her idea is to have her squad members over for a fire ceremony, which is kind of like a Native American cleansing of the bad mojo, or, you know, I can't think of the word. I just escaped. It just escaped me. Sorry. But
bad juju.
The bad juju. Thank you. but she doesn't, like, explain to Muhammad what it is. And then she doesn't explain, like, how important it is that he gets along with her friends. She's just like, oh, you guys need to hang out more. And Muhammad's like, I'm good.
Yeah. And he's like, well, I won't allow them to interrogate me, and this all sounds crazy to me, so, like, I'm not really about it. And then when they started with like the fire and like throwing twigs and stuff in, I was like, yo, this seems like some witchcraft shit. They're like bouncing stuff off their head and like blowing stuff. I was like, what is going on here? Like, what kind of ritual is this?
I understand like holistic approach and like Native American rituals and stuff, but like, again, if she didn't explain this to the viewers, then she definitely did not explain it to Muhammad.
Right.
And he was just looking at them like, what the fuck is going on?
I mean, my look was kind of like the look on his face, which is why I said it was like witchcraft or something. Like, I don't know. It just seemed like so weird and like so out of the box.
I will say, though, he says something along the lines that like, if this is what Eve like preaches or like what she's like connected to on a spiritual level, then it goes against his religion.
Yeah.
And I was like a little confused by that. I was like, why does it matter what she like believes in? Like,
yeah,
you guys have already decided she's not converting.
Yeah.
So it's like, let her believe in her thing and you believe in your thing. But
right,
Muhammad is very my way or the highway kind of guy.
Yeah. And then her friends are like, oh, Muhammad, we like heard you didn't like us. And he's just like, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. He legit is like, no, I don't like you guys.
He's like, yep. Yeah, that's right.
I like your imitation of him a lot.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I mean, you got to give him credit. He told the truth.
Yeah, he wasn't like fake or anything. He was just like, yeah, you're right. I don't like you.
And then the other thing that was great is he was like, yes, I enjoy this because it keeps me warm. I was like, yeah, I mean, it's probably pretty cold out there at nighttime. So
I forgot about that.
So that was pretty funny too. He was just like, yes, it keeps me warm.
I know. Like Eve was totally looking for like, oh, how do you feel? Like, do you feel cleansed or anything? And he was just like, yeah, I'm warm.
And then at the end, he was just like, yeah, like, this is weird for me. Like, I don't understand this.
They are just on two separate planets, and it's never going to work out. Like,
no,
they come from
two different cultures, two different worlds, and they, like, don't know how to mesh them together whatsoever, don't know how to communicate properly. It's just going to end with him going back to Egypt.
100%. I mean, he threatens it every freaking day. So, but I just don't understand how we can just gloss over this whole like him wanting a new sponsor thing.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Like, it was a 2-episode arc and now it's back to him not getting along with the squad.
Sometimes I get the vibe or like the feeling that she's just invested like 2 years of her life in this guy, so she's like F it, I'm just gonna get married to him, even though like she doesn't, I mean, I'm sure she does love him, but she's like more infatuated with the idea of like having her dream wedding, mm-hmm. rather than just like being with somebody that she like really truly loves and can see with her for the next like 30 plus years. But
yeah, she like wants a wedding and like he's good to Theron. So she's like, all right, I'm done. Like, we're just going to get married. And it's like, but your life's going to suck.
Yeah. And like, you know, you're pushing 50, but you still got 30, 40, 50 years left. Like,
and she looks good. Like, she could probably get anyone she wanted in Albuquerque or wherever the hell she is. So, I don't know.
So, but yeah, we'll see what happens with them. But yeah, ultimately, I think it winds up with Muhammad going back to Egypt and Eve trying to pick up the pieces back here in the States. But let's head off.
He should go back to Egypt. Like, he should, like, get on a plane and go. Because I'm sick of you. I'm sick of you.
Fair enough. But let's head to the last couple. And probably the biggest bombshell of the episode.
The biggest bombshell to the one person that it's about.
Yeah. And Thais is going to tell her dad about her intention of getting married to Patrick.
In a month. In 28 days, actually.
So, starts off with that. And then, you know, Patrick really wants the respect from Thais's dad. And it seems like Thais is still really nervous because her dad doesn't like Patrick.
No. So, they decide, Thais is like, all right, I'll call him. And Patrick's like, we should talk to him together. And she's like, that's not a good idea, but okay. And so Thais says, like, yeah, we're getting married, and we're getting married within the month. And her dad says, you're getting married already?
Yeah, his only response was, already?
Which then I was like, oh, shit, did he not know they were engaged? But then she says, like, you know we got engaged in Mexico. So I was like, what is going on right now? And you can just tell, like, her dad is not happy whatsoever.
Not at all. And I think, like, Patrick kind of got that feeling and kind of got that vibe. So he was like, all right, like, I'm going to step away for a minute. So he goes into the garage to grab a beer and relax, and texts John to meet him there.
Oh, my God. And so, you know, her dad says that she should have told him, or she did. She had the audacity to tell him, and that, you know, she should have told him because he doesn't like Patrick.
Yeah. So what I had too is, like, her dad doesn't understand why she waited till now to tell him, and doesn't believe she should marry any American. And it's like, well, if you believe that, like, why didn't you just say that from, like, day one? Like, why are you allowing her to even, like, go to the States? I mean, I know she's a grown adult and everything, but, like, at some point you could have been like, yeah, I don't want you talking to, like, any American or anything like that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it seems like her dad just has, like, a vendetta against American men and thinking they only want one thing. So, yeah, he should have spoke up when they first started dating and was like, hey, like, be careful, or, like, you know, I don't want you dating him or anything like that. But
yeah, and I mean, he even said, he was like, Americans pretend to be good and are bad because of the news. Like, do you read the news or the newspaper?
I mean, we're pretty shitty people, so I don't blame him at all. But at the same, like, I feel like
that's news, that's headlines. Yeah. Like, when do you ever see good stuff as headlines?
Especially Patrick, who, like, has $1 million house and drives a Tesla and has a pretty good job. Like, I don't know. I feel like he just has this vendetta against Patrick for, like, just being an American.
Yeah, and, like, taking his daughter to the States as opposed to, like, staying in Brazil.
Yeah, exactly. So, what John said earlier is Boston John, meets Patrick in the garage, and John's like, you know, her dad is like, yo, Patrick's an asshole. Like, thinking this was all Patrick's idea. And I was kind of like, yeah, you're pretty spot on, which is, like, wild. Like, I said, what, an episode or two ago? Like, yeah. I cannot believe that John has slowly developed into my favorite person. And he has been spot on about absolutely everything.
She's finally telling her father.
The father.
But so we have all that, and Thais's dad, like, saying all these things. So kind of at the end of the conversation between Thais and her dad, it seems like now, like, she's starting to have doubts, and then her dad tells her to go back to Brazil as soon as possible.
Yeah. So he says she should just leave it all and come back to Brazil.
But, and, like, why would she do that?
I mean, I think he's really hitting her where, like, her heart is, which is Brazil. Like, she misses her family. She misses her dad.
Yeah.
Like, she misses home. And so he's just saying, like, come back, and you don't have to go back to the United States. Like, we can take care of you, kind of thing.
Right.
So, Patrick ultimately comes back into the house, and him and Thais are talking, and she's crying, and, you know, she tells Patrick that her dad doesn't want them to get married, and he wants her to go back to Brazil.
And from, like, Patrick's side of things, he's like, well, shouldn't your dad be happy, like, because you're happy? Like, isn't that what you want as a parent, is, like, for your son and or daughter, like, to be happy with their lives and happy with their significant other? And it seems like she is, and now her dad is just kind of, like, talking her out of all of this stuff. And then Thais also finally tells Patrick that her dad doesn't like him and isn't good for her.
I was just like, yo, that's kind of fucked up.
But I mean, like, at the same time, why didn't she tell him this, like, months ago?
I don't know. Like, I don't understand why she thinks she could be sneaky against, like, the two people that she loves the most. Like, it makes no sense to me at all.
Yeah, like, how did you think this was going to end? Like, the longer you wait to tell him, like, the worse it's going to be on both sides of these issues.
Exactly. So, yeah, so it finally comes out, and Patrick is like, he doesn't like me. Yeah. I always thought he liked me.
He was, like, absolutely shocked.
I kind of felt bad. I was like, definitely. Oh, shit, this is awkward as F. Like, yeah, it was weird.
I definitely felt bad for him, but then, like, even after they talked, like, Thais was like, there's a part of her now that wants to go back, and then she was like, what happens if I go back? And he's like, well, things will be over between us if you go back to Brazil.
I know. I can't believe he said that. He was like, yeah, they'll be over. And I was like, oh, shit.
But at the same time, like, can you blame him? This has been, like, years in the making. He's gone to Brazil how many times?
14 times,
now,
I think.
Now he's brought her to the States. They've moved.
Yeah.
Like, all of these things. Like, if she...
He learned Portuguese for her.
Yeah.
Like,
he's done everything.
Everything.
So if she did go back, I feel like that would be such, like, a shot to the heart.
Oh, it's a slap in the face. 100%.
Yeah. And I like, wouldn't blame him for being like, all right, like, this is it. Like, I'm done.
Yeah. And I would, I'm almost like, he's like, oh, if you go back now, like, we're done. Like, I'm almost like, no, you should be done now. Like, she lied to you. She lied to her dad. Like, does she really want to get married?
Yeah.
Does she really want to be in the States? Like, all this stuff. So.
Yeah. And then at the end, Patrick just says, like, at the moment, he's terrified. Which, like, I don't blame him, because if she does go back, it's going to be an issue. But I think eventually what will happen is they're going to get married. She'll go back to Brazil, like, talk to her dad, stay there for, like, a week or two, and then come back. And hopefully there will be a way to mend the relationship between everybody.
We'll see. I mean, I don't... I guess we were talking about it when we were watching that episode, but I thought that if you were in the midst of the 90 days, you couldn't go back to your country.
So, yeah, because it looks like she's on a plane going back in the preview. So maybe they went to a courthouse thing and they're married now? I don't know.
But then you would have to wait for your green card. That's always how I interpreted it.
Yeah, but maybe she has, like we were saying too, maybe she has like a, what is it, like a vacation or...
Tourism visa.
Yeah, like a tourism visa so that she's able to do that. And they just didn't elect to tell us that to create the drama, like, of seeing her on the plane.
Yeah, so I don't know. The preview is very strange, and it's just, I mean, I guess we'll find out next week, right? So I don't know yeah. why I'm questioning it, but that was pretty much it for this episode. Like we said, nothing really, I mean, besides like this Thais drama, I feel like nothing of significance really happened. And then next week or next time on, Jabri and Miona move out, it looks like. So like, bye, bitches. Shida ends up talking to Bilal's mom about marriage, which, like, I feel like could be really, really awkward.
Yes.
Very. Kara and Guillermo get married. Super Ooh. Pumped about it.
It looked a little iffy, though, from Kara's side.
Yeah, but I feel
I think like that's just create drama.
Exactly. Mohammed talks with his mom about, like, the cultural differences between him and Eve.
Yep.
Tells Emily, like, oh, well, now you have two kids. And she's like, Kobe told Temperature that I'm pregnant, or whatever the hell she said. I don't know. She's,
yeah, because she didn't tell anybody and they thought they were keeping it a secret until after the wedding. And just Emily being Emily.
Exactly. And then last but not least was Thais on a plane. So we can only assume that she is going to Brazil, but if it turns out she's going, like, somewhere in the States, I'm going to be pissed.
Like, she's going to Miami to meet her dad?
Yeah.
Be like, what the hell is this?
Fucking 90 day. But that was really it. And then in other 90 Day Fiancé news, we got the couples for Happily Ever After, which is coming on after the season of 90 Day. And I have two words to say. not happy.
Except for probably the best character in 90 Day history.
No, don't go that far.
Okay, top three. He's top three. My guy, Andre.
Andre. So here,
top three character. Let's be real.
So here are the couples for Happily Ever After. First we got Jenny and Sumit. I'm sick of them.
Yeah, I'm really tired of the whole his family doesn't like her. They're staying in
their
India.
Age difference.
Yeah, I'm kind of sick of it.
Like, if they're gonna be on 90 Day, they should be on the other way because she moved to India.
Yep.
Then we have the two couples that we will not be covering, and I'm letting you know this right now. We might cover one of them, but the other one we're definitely not covering. One of them is Angela and Michael.
God, she sucks.
She's a terrible human being. And then the other one is Big Ed and whatever the hell his wife's name is.
The new one.
Yeah, the new one who isn't even from a different country. Like, they didn't have 90 days. Like, I don't understand how they're on this season. He's a sexual predator. TLC should be ashamed of themselves for continuing to
showcase.
Put him on television. So
he's a creep.
If you guys watch or you guys listen to us for next season of Happily Ever After, we will not be covering any of Big Ed scenes. Sorry, not sorry.
He's a creep.
And then we have John's favorite.
Andre and Libby.
She's pregnant right now, so I hope we get to see some of that. And then we have Jovi and Yara.
And everyone's favorite or second favorite mom, Miss Gwen.
Miss Gwen. We love Miss Gwen. The moms
from the bayou.
The moms on 90 Day are like always so great.
Yeah. Janice is great. Miss Gwen is great.
Yeah. I think those are top two.
Miss Karen.
Love Miss Karen. and then last but not least, we have Usman and Kimbali. Which, again, they aren't married or even engaged, so I don't understand how they're on Happily Ever After.
Because Usman's gonna sell his album.
And this is another thing. TLC, like, hello, how many seasons of fucking Usman are we gonna get?
This is the third, right?
This is the third.
The second with Kimbali.
The second with Kimbali, and then the first with Baby Girl Lisa.
Yeah, so this is the third overall.
Super racist too. So
third season for Usman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder what song we're gonna get this time.
Ooh, Zara.
Zara part two. So that's about it. Happily Ever After, I think, starts at the end of August. So it seems like we have about 3 more episodes of 90 Day, and then probably 2-part tell all. And then Happily Ever After will start.
Woo!
Which I'm not excited about, but I guess we'll get through it.
We're excited for Andre and Libby.
Exactly. And hopefully we got like a single life with Chantel or Pedro at one point.
Ooh, that'd be good, yeah.
Would be good. That's really it for this week. Thanks for listening. We love the feedback you guys have been giving us. Please rate us how you feel on iTunes, Spotify. We're working on the mic situation on iTunes, so apologies in advance if this isn't loud enough. We tried to speak louder this week, so.
Five stars.
Follow us on Instagram, 90day_ourway. I've been posting some memes, commenting on some people's posts, just having a lot of fun. And yeah, rate us 5 stars, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
See you back here next week.
Bye.